came into pieces. You know, I was like, my old friend, my old timer friends want to do a band. I got John here wants to do a band, and you know, I got the Hazy Tom's name still, like, you know, still around, still selling records. So like, let's just do it. And now we're going in Europe, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
Like, yeah, it's fun. I mean, you know, what I'm trying to say basically is just, I don't know, I was at a point where I didn't feel like just like calling anybody, any musicians to join the Hazy Tones and like do this with people I didn't know. It was like the last trend, like last 10, I'm sorry. But then, you know, everything kind of fell into place and now we're going to Europe, you know, so.
So is this like a more concrete lineup than what you, because I know you used to like basically just get like, not session guys, but like guys who were more like hired gunny type of things.
But I wouldn't say hired gun. You know, if you want to talk about it, like the last lineup, I had like Victor. You know, he's down in the scene. Mm-hmm. Victor Tremblay, and he was already my buddy. We still play shows together. And I met Adam, who said like, how it happens, like, you know, when the band, I don't have a lineup, usually people call me, you know, I don't even have to put an ad, some guy calls me, Adam, I knew him a little bit, and he was like, dude, I'd like to do the project, you know, and then Victor one time, he said, I want to sub in the band, and a couple weeks later, he said, I want to try it for real, so that was the second lineup, but unfortunately, like, a lot of the guys I've in Montreal, you know what it is. Everybody has a lot of projects.
Yeah, like 1,000. I was talking with one of the members you have now, and I was like, so what other like 4 bands are you in? And he's like, oh, I'm only in this band. I'm like, how refreshing is that?
I told exciting. Them if they join another band, like, you know, they're going to ride, like, you know, at the back of the tour bus the whole time. That's what I told them. But, you know, with that's it, with Adam and Victor, I mean, they wanted to pursue the projects. And, you know, I think both of these guys, if they're listening, whatever, they're still, like, great musicians. Great frontmen, like Adam Nye, he's fronting his band. Victor has a big rap band, you know. So, you know, they wanted to let their creativity and do some of their own music. And I totally feel that, you know. I think right now with Hazy Tones, we're writing more together than before. So that's a plus, you know. I don't want it to feel like just a hired gun lineup. I didn't want to do that. You know, that's important to know, you know. But I really didn't want to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, after you get done with Europe, you're going to, I imagine, come back. Do you have some...
I'll be going to Amsterdam after that for a month.
You know? We're gone.
That's it. I don't know if we'll be back. I don't know if anybody's going to hear from us again after that tour.
Are we going to survive?
That's it. I mean, with the virus and all that, we're like a bit stressed out. I mean, we're not stressed about the virus. We're just stressed that... You know, if we travel all around, we'll be pursued as like criminals, you know, for seriously, man, you know, don't put that, you know, are we live? I don't want me like saying that stuff, you know, but
it's what it is.
Well, I hope that if and when you come back, you're able to play some more shows here in Montreal, because I have always loved seeing you guys play when I get to catch you play.
That's it.
One of those times.
But we have some shows lined up for the summer in Montreal. I can't talk about it, but
of course
we'll have some dates. And honestly, like the future, like I said, I don't know. I really want to record that album. Like the tour is like been taking time off doing the album and shit. So when we come back, I think it's going to be, you know, if ever anybody wants Hazy Tones for like, you know, 2K, whatever, like call us up, we'll do the show. But beside that, we'll just be like recording songs and, you know, taking it easy.
I like the sound of that. I'm excited to hear kind of the remainder of tracks that'll fill out what's going on over in there that you just played.
Oh, you know, it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be cool. But at the same time, I think, you know, it's always about how the public perceives like the music you release. We just do it for fun, you know. I don't know why it sounds over there after that. You know? Just going to wait for the public response, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, as someone who doesn't make and put out things to be judged by people, I imagine it must be sort of, like, harrowing to be like, oh, I'm going to put this out to be judged by everyone else in the world. I think it's great. And then people get to it, and I don't know what they're going to think about it. Like, yeah, so I commend anyone that has kind of the courage to do that.
But the stoner, I think, you know, the stoner community, I think it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the kind of community to like bash on albums. Like, maybe, I don't know, if you do something, you know, I rarely see if something doesn't pick up that much, like people are not gonna fucking bash it. Like most genres, you know, most genres, if you're a band and your fourth record isn't up to date, like sometimes, you know, people take it down to the ground. But maybe that's the freedom of doing stoner music, is sometimes you can change your style a little bit and people won't be surprised as much as if you're like a trash metal band. Like, you know, maybe not today, but like you know, Metallica, they would like change their sound, like, you know, Justice for All, people would spit on them and stuff.
I mean, they
like
cut
that.
Their hair, remember? Like, I
that
mean,
was
that
after
was,
that, but you know, that I can understand for the Black Album, but when like James was talking about like Justice for All, they really became commercial, and like you listen to that album, like it's, you know, I don't think it's really much more commercial than like Master of Puppet was.
Yeah.
But people really took it like personal, you know, really personal. But I think we're in a new age now. These stoner bands, they have the freedom to kind of do what they want. People don't call them sellouts or shit like that. Maybe one day when we make money.
I mean,
maybe then we'll be sellouts, you know.
I mean, it's not like black metal, right? Where like, oh my, did you record in a real studio? Well, not Trevu Cavalt enough for me. Like, thanks.
Was there real blood in that recording? Because I don't want it signed on my
label. Otherwise, I'm not going to have it on my.
They needs to be blood.
Well, thank you guys for coming in and doing stuff with us. And
yeah, of course, man. Anytime.
I mean, I am always happy to have you guys come in and play stuff. So
it was. I mean, we've been talking about it for a while.
Yes,
now,
it's
right?
been quite some time. That we
I remember did. Last year, me and you and South by South was talking about that. So I'm happy we did it before South by us passed this year. You know?
We got it within a year, and that's the important.
We made it, part. Andrew. We made it. You know.
But thank you guys for coming in and playing, and everybody. If you missed some of that, feel free to check in with my what's it called there, Facebook page, that's what it's called, where I'll be posting it up, and I'll put it up on CJLO, so you can listen to it at your leisure, at your heart's content.
Oh yeah.
So everyone, keep it locked. This is Grade A Explosives. Metal March continues, and here's some CJLO news and some other stuff, so stay tuned everyone. CJLO 69 AM, this is Grade A Explosives.
Listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Luca Caruso Moro. A Quebec court has issued an injunction against Kahnawake Renou protesters, ordering them to clear a blockade on a line of rail running through their community. According to CBC News, Premier François Legault said the blockade needs to be lifted for the good of the economy. The protesters are blocking the tracks in solidarity with hereditary chiefs in Wet'suwet'en who oppose the construction of a pipeline through their community. Kahnawake peacekeepers, the local police equivalent, say they have no intention of enforcing the court order to remove the blockade. In other news, Premier François Legault unveiled his vision to upgrade schools across the province. Last year, the CAQ announced a $4 billion fund for school renovation projects. Legault said the fund would go towards the 1,800 schools in need of repair. Natural light, more outdoor space, and locally sourced materials will be prioritized during renovations. However, the CAQ did not give a timeline. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO 1690 AM, this is Grade A Explosives. This is CJLO 1690 AM. I just said that in Grade A Explosives. Oh, no, I said that too. Oh, well, I'm repeating myself in an infinite loop. That was the Hazy Tones that you just heard before this. And so now, what do I do with this next part of the hour? Well, I have special ops that are going to be calling in, but I want to kind of transition you into what they've got going on. So let me play some things that are more in line with what's going on with them. There, I've been talking about this for a while, but there is a band, Eclipse Records. Is that right? That sounds right. Who have basically been putting out things specifically designed for me. And hence that means, you know, early 2000s alt metal type projects. There's been a few that they've put out now. I'm going to play two of them, and that'll kind of get us right up to the part where we get to Special Ops. So first, let me play a band from Brazil called The Krugers. I think that's right. I mean, I think pretty much. They have a record called Hysterical Cold Side and Dark Memories, and I'm going to play off of here I Set Myself. And then after that, I'm going to play, I think it's Kira is the name of the band. Yes, with a track called Redefine. They're from Oklahoma. Pretty sure that's it. And I'm going to play Brooding off of here. And hopefully that's not just some weird intro track to some other song. So keep it locked. This is Grade A Explosive, CJLO 1690 AM.
We'll be right back. says, in fact, in his uncanny writings. People say all the time, I don't understand how that could happen. It's like, I don't believe that. I think an hour of thought, of real thought about your darkest feelings about existence itself, illuminates the pathway to that sort of behavior quite clearly.
Arts Souterrain is back with the 12th edition of its annual Contemporary Art Festival. Discover over 50 local and international artists exhibiting under the official theme Reset. From February 29th to March 22nd, explore the underground pedestrian network of downtown Montreal under a new light. For more information, visit artssouterrain.com.
Do you like metal? Do you like bands from the modern era and the past, the mainstream and the underground? Then tune in to Turn On the Darkness, hosted by Philium, where you'll experience intense and mind-boggling music that'll make your ears explode with excitement, right here on CJLO 1690 AM. Shove the books and listen to some metal.
Right now.
CJLO 1690 AM. That's some special acts with Ship Has Sunken off of their new album Blood and Tears. And I jumped a little too quickly on the guy. They're going to be calling in a bit later than I wanted or than I thought they would. So this doesn't really work to lead into them, but that's okay. And you know why? Because before that, I was talking about Eclipse Records and how they're basically putting out alt metal things that are specifically designed to appeal to me, like Kira and the Krugers, both of which I played from Oklahoma and Brazil, respectively. And I figure that gives me license right now to play some forgotten tracks that you probably either have never heard, never wanted to hear, or actively avoided. And I'm going to play them because I want to. I rarely get to play things like this on my show because, you know, I have it structured now that it's newer things, it's a lot of more heavy things. But I'm going to jump back here and play some stuff that everyone but me seems to think was atrocious and should have never happened ever, 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 ever. And frankly, you are all wrong, and I am right. Now look, I don't want to say that these songs aren't, that these songs are, rather, the best that music has ever had to offer. I understand that these are not the greatest songs ever written. However, for everyone to just kind of dismiss them based on the fact that they were associated with or happened around the same time as nu metal bands, and even to dismiss nu metal as a genre in and of itself, sure, it's dumb. Like, it's real dumb. Like, Limp Bizkit is dumb. Like, there's no way around it. Korn is dumb. On its face, it's dumb. But look, that doesn't mean it's bad. Because something can be dumb and also not bad. Just because it's dumb doesn't make it bad. And I would argue that many of the things in this alt-metal slash nu-metal section were labeled as bad when they were just, in fact, dumb. And I think that's a bit unfair. I think that's not very good of everyone to do. And case in point, I'm going to play a track that you may have only heard if you were into wrestling, which does not see dumb, very dumb. But that doesn't mean that the song is bad. I can't rightfully remember which song from this band got to be featured on WWF at the time during their Attitude era, like right afterwards. But this band definitely had one of these songs from this album. The band is Virgos Merlot. I really like them, and I'm going to play Gain off of here because I think that's probably the best one and might have been the one that they used for one of the many, many, many monthly pay-per-view things that they've done as the theme for it, and then was quickly forgotten by everyone. So let's do that, and then maybe I'll fit in another band before Special Ops comes on, and we'll enjoy this. I'll enjoy this. You probably won't. So enjoy this, or don't. I don't care. It's my show. And Metal March is about celebrating all things loud and that have been associated with metal. And, you know, some things have gotten a bad rap. Just because Limp Bizkit is terrible doesn't mean everything around it is bad. Guilt by association only works so far. So enjoy this, or don't. CJLO, 1690 AM, this is Great Explosives, and in case you want to see something that is empirically good, you can text in for some tickets for Cult of Luna and Intronaut happening tomorrow at the Corona, 514-848-7471, and maybe tell me how wrong I am, or how right I am. You know, probably wrong. But enjoy this. CJLO 1690 AM.
Gonna teach the song. I'm bothered by the fact you can't. where you've been, and I know you're lying.
CJLO, 1690 AM, The Great A Explosives, what you just heard, well, that block, we'll start at the beginning. That was some Virgos Merlot from their 1999 record, which was just, I miss that band so much. I miss them. They came up with stuff after that, but not as good. Signs of a Vacant Soul is the name of that record. The track was Gain. I should have done some more research to find out if that was actually something that was featured on WWF things, but I didn't because I'm not a professional and I don't get paid, so, you know, that's how this works. And then after that, you heard some of the gents from Special Ops doing a track called Anger is Creeping off of their, well, not their last record? Is that officially the last one, or was the order was a bit weird, as I recall, but that was Tangents and Tangents and Other Tracks.
Yes, Tangents is an EP remix of some of the songs, but Anger is Creeping is originally from the Phase 2 record.
That's right, yes.
That's exactly what it says. It's a tangent EP. It's literally like we went off the deep end and you know, recruited a couple of DJ friends of ours and just went into the studio and said, hey, let's just go off the deep end, and that was exactly what you got.
Well, here's the thing. I really love records like that because, you know, I'm an old industrial kid. And so that's used to be Metropolis Records' bread and butter, is they would have like, oh, here's a new KMFDM record. And then like a maxi single with like 1,000 friggin' remixes from a bunch of things on here and maybe one or two originals. So like, I love this type of thing that bands do with where they change up their thing. So I'm always happy to hear something like that.
Well, we're pretty diverse, you know. We have a lot of, me and Sam have like a lot of different kinds of music, and so when we try to write, we just try not to inhibit anything and let the songs evolve to what they want to become, you know.
Yeah. Well, in case you guys have missed it, because I didn't properly intro them, I have Special Ops on the phone with me right now. gentlemen, why don't you, say your names and what you do's in the band so people can distinguish your voices from one another, hopefully.
Okay, this is Johnson, A.K. Johnson, vocals and guitar.
I'm Waldo Thornhill, I play bass. Some keyboards in studio.
All right, good. So everyone get that? Is everyone good? All right, I will take everyone's radio silence to mean yes. Good, excellent. So you guys have done interviews with me before. So as you may remember, I like to start off my interviews the same way because otherwise they fall apart. So what is one thing that you are tired of being asked or don't want to answer? If I have it on this list I have, I'll strike it. You won't have to in any way regard it.
All right, how long is your list? Because you might end up with no questions.
I get the best one for you. How did you get the name of the band?
Yes, of course. That is always the one that comes up pretty regularly. Well, I guess I'll strike questions 51 and 52 then. God, you guys. Jeez.
We'll let everything else slide, you know?
All right, well, I guess let's have a conversation about Blood and Tears first then. Ugh, fine, whatever. So, Blood and Tears, new record that you guys have out. What was kind of the songwriting process like for this one? Did you do anything different as in regard, well, as opposed to, there we go, older records that you've been doing?
That's the most unconventional record ever.
Nice.
We have what, like 10 releases out? This one is, believe it or not, it was a completely different album. And then there were some member changes and like a whole lot of like chaos, tornado kind of thing happening. And then what ended up happening was we took this thing and we listened to it. And we just kind of like, that's good, that's not, this is us, this isn't, garbage. We started all over again. We kept the gems out of the first one, and the ones that were like good enough, we put them off on Tangents, and that's where you got Tangents with the DJs and stuff coming in with the remixes and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the Pat Cadaver coming back in at the time, and Weka was around, we had just these awesome jam sessions. We just started jamming, and like bang, like. It's pure off, like, I can't even define, like, how pure it is. Because, like, we took that over-produced, over, like, Tangents is, like, DJ-style kind of record, threw it out. And we just, like, went right back in. And in a matter of a couple of months, we had a whole album out, A to Z, done. And that was it.
So, let me, did you...
You weren't expecting that, actually.
I did not, actually. So, for Blood and Tears, are there tracks on here? I know you did some on Tangents and things, but what kind of percentage of this is that original record of Blood and Tears?
Maybe 60, I think.
Oh, yeah. All right. So what was kind of the...
40, maybe 50, maybe.
Six, yeah. Anywhere between 40 to 60 is the right to go with.
Depends on the track, actually, you know.
what was the earliest and latest thing to kind of give people an idea of like where the process went for it?
Where the process went for it.
Yeah, you know, like when you listen to it and you're like, okay, that was like the song that we wrote. It's the oldest one and we're keeping that one because like we really like it. And then the newest one that's like we added this on as like the last song so people can be like compare what they're like. Because I also I didn't expect you to answer in that way, but I definitely feel that this album is, it feels different from all the last ones that I've heard. Not that it feels, I mean, what's coming to mind is the word disjointed, but I don't mean that because that normally means like it doesn't fit together. But it is kind of, it does have like different feels to each of the songs, but they do feel like a cohesive unit.
Multifaceted.
Yeah, okay, yes, that'll work, yeah.
it's like saying like how we let the songs evolve and become what they are and not forcing them in a certain genre or direction. We just let, because we all, like I said, we all have diverse styles and diverse influences. And
you have to, okay, to answer your question, like it started off with Blood and Tears, half of what Ship Has Sunken is, Salt, what else was on there?
What You Call Man,
yeah, that was on there, that was definitely on there. Those tunes, like when you listen to those, like that's from the original record that we kept. We polished them up. We took off some tracks. We added others, but that's like from the original record. And then the rest is pretty much, you know, it is when Cadaver came back and Bedwetter came back, and then literally a matter of weeks before the record was supposed to come out, we decided to throw in a cover, which is I Put a Spell on You. And that was just caution to the wind. Like, hey, let's do this. Right?
Yeah.
It's good enough to finish Johnson it in time. And
Johnson woke me up one morning. Hey, let's do this. And like I said, okay, let's do this.
Yeah,
I really like that cover. It's very good. I'm very, very happy with the way that turned out. And you guys did a video for that too, I believe. Am I correct on that?
Yeah. And there's a little story for that. Like we did it. We finished the music and we did the vocals and everything, and then like because it's a little again, that's a tangent, right? So I have a friend who knows the producer, Steve Pajot, you know, Pajot. And I made her, like, send off a copy of this song saying, look, this guy knows his soul music and his blues and his hip-hop. Like, just, you know, are we doing it justice? Because I don't, you know, the whole point of me doing that, or the idea behind it for me, was to pay homage to artists like, you know, Screaming Jay Hawkins and Nina Simone, who have actually, you know, put out that song and given it the character that it has, right? And he, all of a sudden, I get a phone call from this guy saying, hey, this is one of my favorite tunes, and I want to produce it.
Next thing you know, in the studio, he's producing the vocals and stuff like that. We're doing vocal tracks, and it was great.
Damn, man, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's like, who expects a random phone call from, like, you know, grabby producer? And, you know, we're nobodies for the type of artist he does, right? Like, Snoop Dogg and Aretha Franklin and Special Ops is on his roster.
Yeah, he did. He produced a bunch of guys like Crazy Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony, and so it's like a very diverse kind
of hip hop and soul. Soul music is like it's the biggest influence I get. You know, I would say. So that's the record. There you go, in a nutshell.
Well, that's fascinating. Did you get to work a lot with him for it, or was it like you kind of like sent it off and he kind of tweaked it and then?
Oh no, we actually he lives here. He was here visiting family from New York, and lucky for us, he had brought in his kind of like, I guess, mobile studio, or he had something at his parents' folks where he was staying at the time, and he's like, just come in, like so. Here we are at Steve's dad's place, or his parents' house, where he grew up, in his basement hangout place where he does his work, you know.
that's wild. That's crazy.
And, you know, we became friends. Like, dude is super chill, super nice guy, like, relaxed. Makes you, you know, you walk in, I'm going to admit, I was a little bit nervous, right? I've never worked with a producer of this caliber before, right?
Right.
So, like, there was a little bit of nerves happening there, right? And then within the first 5 minutes, it's like, oh, you're just another dude. We're chilling. We're hanging. Like, it's all good. You know? Like,
he made it feel at home, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's...
It was one take wonder, man. Like, it was done. Banged it out, and the rest was editing and done.
That's super cool. Like, that's nuts.
Yeah. Next thing I know, he's showing up to the album launch and, you know, at Fluffs, and it's like, all right, cool. I think we planted a little rock seed in Steve.
Yeah, he's
a cool cat. He's a really cool cat.
I think we gave him the rock bug.
So the next thing he puts out that has, you know, that's more rock, you're like, ah, yes, look at what we've done. We have influenced the new sound.
You never know. You never know.
No, you never, you totally never know.
Well, speaking of...
So, yeah, I mean...
Keep going.
A lot of people ask us why. Like, why the record is like that, and why we didn't, like, stick to one specific genre.
Mm.
Like, two things. No record label. We are indie. We were on a comeback from a hiatus. And there's... Nobody was waiting for this album. Nobody had their fingers in it. Nobody had... You know, it's like, we have nobody to answer to but ourselves. And the fans, of course. But that was it. So, you like it? Great. Fantastic. Beautiful thing. You don't like it? Well, okay. Go listen to something else. And that was that. Okay? And it worked out great, man. Like, the thing is moving on its own with very little push on our end. And the second part of my answer is, I hate that word genre. I think it's so restrictive, and it's a marketing tool that just big labels use to pigeonhole you and to be able to package you and sell you into like put you on the shelf, so to speak.
Yeah, basically want to package you like a piece of groceries or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I go back and forth on my thoughts about genres, and I think it all kind of depends on what's happening in the naming concepts at the time, because like for a while everything was core, right? Like the crabcore and metalcores and core. And it's like, what are you guys doing? But on the other hand, when I pick up a band, I do like to kind of have an idea, like, am I going to be listening to, like, you know, some industrial thing, or am I going to be listening to, like, a pop band, right? So it's like, and sometimes bands are really bad at, like, putting something on their record as, like, a sight line to know what that is. So I go back and forth as to if genre, like, is a helpful tool or not for what music is, I guess, today.
From that angle, I see where you're coming from, but do we really need to go that far beyond, you know, the big four or five genres type thing?
Yeah, it's true. It's like the split is where it starts to break apart, right? Like where you're making a new genre for every band that puts out a record.
Like, what's the newest core thing that came out that was like hardcore, punkcore, mathcore, this core, that core? And at some point, it's like, dude, just say core and you're good.
Yeah. Well, now the word of the day is post, right? So now it's like post black metal, post things. Like, all right, I mean, cool, I guess, but like, can't you just like say it's black metal, because that's what it is, it's what we're doing.
I'm happy with metal nowadays. When I hear the word metal, like, that's why I told people, like, please stop calling us metal, because we are not. Groove metal, all right, maybe 90s metal or something, fine, that's a bit dated, but okay. But you know, when I hear the word metal nowadays, all I can think of is like Excessive Speed, which is fine, like, great. I listen to that stuff, you know, I appreciate it, but it's, you know, it's not where we stand anymore, so to speak. You know, it's not where like there was once upon a time people would call Deep Purple metal. Would you call Deep Purple metal today if they just came out?
I mean,
you know,
I guess you could. I mean, that was the problem too, is like, you could make the argument for it in either direction, which is why it becomes kind of a non-point, right? Which speaks to the idea that genres don't really have that hard of a meaning for them. Yeah, it's an interesting thought to have, huh?
Yeah,
things have just shifted. That's all I'm saying, and it shouldn't be. People should not pigeonhole themselves. Like, there's a million fantastic artists out there that you've never heard of, and you probably will never look at just because of that label. You know, these guys are not metal. I'm not going to go check them out. Like, you know, somebody called them hard rock, or somebody called them alternative, and even called everything under the sun, right? So, why? Just don't limit yourself. Like, that's my only thing I tell people. Like, don't limit yourselves. Go and explore and be open-minded. Like, you'd be surprised what kind of gems you'd find. It's music at the end of the day, you know?
That's true. I mean,
exactly.
That really should be how it is. I mean, like, I've met so many people, and I think, I don't know if you guys have encountered this, but I find that metal kind of is the worst in this, in that if something does not have metal in a way attached to it, then it becomes like, oh, well, I don't know if I'm going to listen to it. That's not good.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know if there are other genres that kind of go as badly as metal, but also, like, I guess metal has its roots in kind of like the outsiders, right? Like, and not being inside of what other people like, which is just weird and limiting, and I don't like that.
And, you know, thinking of that, the roots of it, the origins of it, is being the outsider.
Yeah.
And now it's become this click thing, which is a big, you know, it's hypocritical to be that.
Exactly. It's like people expect you to be something, and why can't you just listen to the music for what it is? If it's heavy, it's heavy, and if it's a bit more mellow or melodic or groovy, and it's what it is, but it still has its own essence, and just listen to it and take it for what it is, what I'm saying.
Let me pose something else to you here, because like it's Metal March here at CJLO, where we're kind of celebrating loud things, as we're putting it. Which I don't know
genre loud.
Yes, the new genre of loud, which incorporates everything that isn't folk. And but I've been thinking about kind of my personal kind of journey to more loud bands, and I've been able to kind of pinpoint an exact band and song where I started to kind of diverge paths, as it were, to start following like a more like loud-centric path of listening. Do you guys have anything like that? Like, what is your kind of like starting point for venturing towards louder types of music?
Individually or as a band?
Oh no, individually. I want to hear. I'm interested in what both of you how both of you came to this.
I started off, I think it's always been, as far as back as I could remember, I've wanted to be a musician, a metal, let's call it metal.
all right.
Because, all right, there's a little bit of history here, because like my brother is about 7 years older than me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, big brother thing, you're a kid, don't come into my room kind of thing, and this is my music and whatever. And, you know, he was into that, right? And here's like little Sam sitting outside his room door and listening in. It's like, ooh, what is that coming out of his room, you know? And then one day he's packing his bags, he's going to college, like, you know, all older siblings, well, not all, but eventually they move out for whatever reason it is.
Right.
And I'm just sitting there and watching him pack his at the time, cassette collection, right? I was, what, 9, 10 years old?
Right.
And he just kind of looks at me and he goes, here. And he throws me this pirated 90-minute cassette. On one side was Anthrax, Metal Thrashing Mad. And on the other side was Iron Maiden's first record. And I wore that thing out. I cannot believe. Okay, on my little one speaker, little red boombox kind of thing. And that was the beginning of the end. From that first press play, you know, I rewinded it to you know, the A side, you know, and Anthrax, Metal Thrashing Mad kicked in, and that was it. That first lick sealed it. That was done. So if I'm going to blame it on anybody, it's them. Vocally, the whole vocals business came back. I was never really into vocals until I heard Nina Simone, that's a whole other. I was with a bunch of friends at the movies, and we were watching some cheesy flick. I don't want to be there. Point of No Return. And the lead character in that movie is in love with Nina Simone. So her music is all over that film. And I was like, who the hell is that? So I actually was one of the last guys to leave that theater, because I'm sitting there waiting for the credits to roll up.
To see who this, yes.
Yeah. I was like, who the hell is this? And I see the name Nina Simone. All right. Keep that in mind. And I'm looking. And I grew up in Dubai. It's a desert. Like, finding stuff that's not top 40, good luck at that time. You know?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so I was at... I had this one Canadian friend, and I was at their place, and next thing I know, it's playing at their house. Can I have a copy of that? And that was the end. That was it.
And that was how home taping killed music. That's how it goes.
That was it. I would hound everybody and anybody at school that I knew liked anything with distorted guitar, and just listen to anything I could get my hands on. Because there was a big, you know how people here, they trade baseball cards, or used to at least?
Yeah.
It's, you know, in my high school, it was pirated cassettes. People would leave the country to go on vacation. They would come back with all sorts of these bootlegs and doubles, what they would find. And we would just trade. And bring it home, record it again, copy of a copy of a copy of a copy.
The last one is just like indecipherable noise, and it's like, wow, I don't understand what anyone likes about this.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to borrow that guy's cassette.
let's talk about your upcoming live things that you have going on. You are going to be in Trois-Rivières on the 21st for the Blood and Tears tour that you guys are doing.
Yeah, we just finished a whole bunch of slew dates in around Quebec.
Yeah.
Terrebonne was last night. That was nice. It was a full house, and the crowd was freaking loud. It was nice. Blood and Tears is happening again, and I think it was the 21st, like you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, 21st.
And we're looking forward to that, because the first time we went there, I think it was our first time in Latvia.
Yeah, it was around...
Hey, Wally, we've been around for how long is it? Like, this is our second time ever to play Latvia.
Second time.
Anyway, it's like, bad move, because it turns out they liked us.
Oops, sorry, guys.
Yeah, you know, should have been there. Yeah. So we're going back.
Well, when's the next time we can see you back here, hometown in it, as it were?
Can you keep a secret on the radio?
I mean, I can if you're okay with the secret going out to anyone else who's listening.
Yeah. Rumor has it May 5th.
Ooh, I like that.
In
That's
Montreal.
Close by.
Yeah, we don't want to. No, this is something like we tell a lot of bands that are starting to do the same thing. Is like, don't overplay your hometown just because you become that band that I'll see them next week.
Yeah,
you know, if you got something good going,
totally.
Don't let people get bored of you, because you know it's not. All you're going to end up having is, like, people are going to get so fed up. It's like, you know, you're going to have your girlfriend and whomever other people that really, really want to support you. And thank you for these people, because they'll always be there. But at the end of the day, if you take yourself seriously, treat it like a career and just, like, don't overplay any specific spot. Do yourself that favor.
Well, let me. I the hour ends draws close to an end here, but I want to make sure that I get a track from you guys on here to end it out. So I think I'll play I Put a Spell on You, if that's good on your end.
Yes.
Well, hold on a second.
All right.
Breaks. You said we were just talking about Loud.
Yeah.
So how about we start it off with I Spell on You, and then you kick it into what you call Man, because that's the Loud.
All right. I can do that.
It's epitome of
right?
Loud.
All right.
But You Call Man is like, that's a, it's not as fast as Ops Get, but it's as heavy as Ops Get. That's
all right.
The rawest song. Like, the vocals were done in one take. The guitar tracks were done in one take. It's as raw as it comes on that album.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, apologies to anybody that might get offended, but it's not about you, buddy.
it's just art, so please do not take offense.
Fair enough.
I don't care. Okay.
Well, thanks, guys, for chatting with me and calling in and taking some time out to do this.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having us.
DJ Lo, all the way to where we started.
It's always fun being with you guys, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when you guys stop in next time, do some jamming.
That would be great, actually, yes.
So
and they will come.
So everyone, here is some here's some special ops with I Put a Spell on You and What You Call Man off of their record Blood and Tears. Maybe, you know, check them out on May 5th when they play.